King James Bible tonight, and we will start in 2 Samuel 18 and then go to 1 Samuel 17. But as you're turning there, I'm thinking about what someone has said, and this is true of the Christian life, that a squash can be grown in just a few weeks, but to grow an oak tree, it takes decades. And to grow a fruit tree, it takes time. And the Bible speaks in Psalm 1 about a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever it does shall prosper. And I believe that is the key to what we're going to talk about tonight. And tonight I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 18, and in verses 1 and 2 of that scripture, the armies of Israel under King David were preparing for a civil conflict within the nation. David had organized his army into three forces, one under General Joab, one under General Abishai, and one under General Ittai. He put leaders over thousands and over hundreds, and he organized all of this army under three generals. Finally, David, having done all of that, he offered to lead the army himself into battle to win this civil war. But now we come to the text for tonight, and I'd like you to turn to 2 Samuel and hear the reply of the people that David gave that plan to, and look at what they said in 2 Samuel 18:3. I'll read the words that are relevant to our message. Here it is. Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou secure, that's help us, give us support, out of the city. Now notice David's people recognize that he was worth 10,000 of them. Now by that I don't mean intrinsically, I mean practically, in the sense of his life and how it counted in the battle for good and evil. He was worth 10,000 of them. If he died in battle, the loss in terms of benefit or loss to the nation of Israel would be worth 10,000 of any one of them. Now David heard what they said, and he consented to their counsel. And he stayed back to help them by staying out of the town and out of the battle. But I want to choose this phrase tonight, verse 3, and it's worth noting. And it says, but now thou art worth 10,000 of us. And tonight I would like to preach on the subject, but now thou art worth 10,000 of us. And the title of the sermon is, how to have a life that is worth more than most people. How you can have a life that really counts for Christ. How you can have a life that counts for eternity. And I don't know how far I'll get with this. I have five things from 1 Samuel and David, how you could have a life that will count to be worth 10,000 of somebody else because of your staying with God and following what he says here. Number one, if you want to have a life that's worth more than 10,000, step out in faith for God's causes. And I want you to go back to 1 Samuel 17, and look with me at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 23. And notice what it says there in David's life as a young man. It says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake to them the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know what? You need to take responsibility for God's reputation. You know what? You need to take responsibility for God's name that it upheld, and to step out in faith to do what God wants you to do and to stand for God's causes. When David heard the giant Goliath mocking God and mocking his army, David put his life at risk for God's name and God's reputation. And notice that he was willing to trust God to stand up to that Goliath, who was 10 feet tall and who was an experienced warrior. He had not lost a fight, and David was just a young boy, just a teenager. But he stood up to that giant. And David got falsely accused by his brother of being prideful and having the wrong motives. But it's very clear that David's motive is stated. Look at verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. It says, "And Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the haughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done?" Thank you, Jesse. "Is there not a cause?" Now, when you step out in faith, people will accuse you of doing it for the wrong motives. That's because they have wrong motives. They don't have God's cause. And don't let that stop you from stepping out in faith. Don't let people stop you from standing for God's reputation and doing what God wants you to do. You'll get criticism. David got criticism. Whenever you're moving out for God, you're going to have friction that will go against you, and people will question your motives. If I listened to all the critics, I'd never go anywhere. I'd never do anything. You don't listen to the critics. You listen to the Word of God. And do you want to have a life that's worth 10,000 of the critics? Do you want to have a life that practically has a great impact for God? I believe we need that today. There is a cause today to have a life that counts for God. Don't worry about this one getting the credit or that one getting the credit, and don't have a petty party about those things. Don't do that. You know, Eliab was having a petty party. He was the big brother, and he was afraid little brother was going to upstage him, and he was worried about little brother and his motives. Don't you worry about the motives of people. God knows the heart. You just pray and you be willing to step out for God and step out for faith. David did it as a young man, and he was still doing it as an old man when he said, "I'll lead the army. I'll go out and I'll fight." He was willing to step out in faith to fight the Lord's battle. Thank God for those that are stepping out, and you're knocking on doors or stepping out and going up to people and giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when you step out in faith, you're standing up for the name of God. You're standing up for Christ. And he sees that. He says, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which was in heaven." And it heartened me just to hear all the testimonies we just had Thursday night and Saturday. There are many more testimonies of people winning souls in this church. And thank God for that. But if you want to have a life that's worth more than most, step out in faith for God's causes. Now, I want to say something else, and that is, don't be afraid to want to be rewarded from God. Faith seeks God's rewards. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says, "He that cometh to God," listen, "must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I prayed this morning. I said, "Lord, We haven't had a baptism in 2 weeks. That won't do. That won't list. We can't have that. I said, we need somebody to come forward to get baptized. I had a lady offer to get baptized, said, but she didn't understand salvation. I can't baptize you unless you give a clear answer. But I want somebody to get, and I had people that were ready to get baptized, and it didn't happen, it didn't work out. But I had prayed and stepped out in faith and preached this morning, and a lady got saved in our service. Amen. And she came forward and got baptized this morning. God did it. Amen. He heard it. I'm saying he wants you to step out in faith. I remember when I came to this church, it was a Presbyterian church. We didn't even have a baptistry in the church. Brother Joe, you remember this. And I was looking for a baptistry. I actually was looking for a swimming pool if we couldn't get a bath, because I wanted to baptize people. The church that we were in, they had a baptistry, but when you picked it up, it had cobwebs in it. They hadn't had a baptistry in I don't know how long. And guess what we did? We were renting from that church. We were meeting there in the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon. They were meeting in the morning. They hadn't baptized anybody in years, I guess. And we started getting people saved and baptized in that neighborhood of Scranton. And guess what? The deacons called a meeting and called me on the carpet. And the deacons from that church, not our church, but from that church, they said, what do you think you're doing, baptizing people, running the full church program here? Well, I said, that's what we're renting the church for, to run a church program. And they were basically telling me that that's not gonna work, you know. And the thing is, we're still here. We have a building that's paid off. Their building is no longer existing, nor is the church. He took their candlestick. I don't want to be a Christian that's not worth a lot in practical terms, as far as giving the devil trouble. You know, the devil said to the men that wanted to cast out the devils. One of the devils said, you know, you're casting out devils in Jesus' name, and you're casting out devils in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. And the devil said, I know about Jesus, I know about Paul, but who are you guys? And the guy that was filled with the devils, he jumped on them and ripped their clothes off them, and there were seven of them, and they ran out of there. All seven of them were worth one, Apostle Paul. Amen. I want to have a life that's worth something, and that means I have to step out in faith like David did. And David, he wanted the reward. Look at verse 26 of 1 Samuel 17. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? You see, he's asking for the reward. He's asking for the reward. Hey, have you had rewards in prayer? Man, I've had some of the greatest blessings of my life through prayer. God says you have not because you ask not. He said you need to ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. He wants you to step out in faith. And they said, yeah, well, you could marry the king's daughter. You could live tax-free in Israel. If you do this, you get to marry the king's daughter and you can live tax-free. He made him repeat it. What'd you say? He was willing to step out in faith for the reward. Listen, faith has rewards. You might not see it immediately. You know, David had to go through a lot, but he got what God had promised him, and he got the reward. And so I'm saying, if you want to be great for God, if you want your life to make an impact for God, you need to be willing to step out in faith. You know what? I have proved God again and again with tithes and offerings. You know, there are people say, if God gave me $100,000, Pastor, I'd like to get this settlement, get all this money. I would give $10,000 to the Lord right up front as a tithe. But you know what? They're not giving $1 out of the $10 that they get. They're not faithful. And thank God for people in this church that they're faithful and they give tithes and offerings off of the top of every increase that God gives you. And some people made decisions to do that. I'm saying, if you want to have an impact, be willing to step out in faith. Don't wait to see if God opens the windows of heaven like he said he would do if you do that. Don't wait to see if God will rebuke the devourer. You just by faith step out and give that tithe and offering, and you will see a life that's worth something, worth more than a lot of people that don't have much impact with their life. And David had that kind of an impact, and he stepped out in faith, and God blessed his life when he did that. By the way, he had done that ever since he was a boy. You can step out in faith when you're a young man. And David was just a young boy, probably maybe 13. How old is Harper? 13 years old? Yeah, she's just 13. He was probably just a teenager, and he was already stepping out. Look at verse 34, what it says. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. So David took care of his father's sheep. And what happened? He was faced with an impossible situation. Here he is taking care of these sheep. He's only got a shepherd's staff. Keep it in mind, he probably had his slingshot with his stone. But what's that against a bear? Amen? Try to go up against a bear with a stick and a slingshot. I dare you sometime. Try to do it. And he had that. And a bear came out. And a lion came out. And you know the story. When the bear came out, the lion came out. What would you have done? Well, Brother Steve, what would you have done? I remember when we went, I had a bunch of preachers, and we went down to Philadelphia to hear Jay Adams speak down there at a seminary down there. And we all went down there, and we were driving, and we saw the biggest black bear I've ever seen in my life. That black bear was humongous. He was big, he was black, he was strong. And and guess what? He was running away from us across the field. And all these preachers got out of the van, and we're like running after the bear, you know. I don't know what we had in our mind. And the bear turned around. And it was like, yeah. And we all started running. And I thank God I made it back to that van, and we got in that van, you know. I mean, it freaked us out. But I'm just saying to you tonight, David had a big bear, a huge bear, and it came out. And David, he could have run away. That would have been the thing. Brother Steve, what would you have done? Yeah, he'd have run away. And you know, that would have been the thing to do. But what did he do? He stepped out in faith, and he fought that bear, and he killed the bear. And he fought a lion, and he killed the lion. You see, David had experience. Have you ever gone up against something where you were outgunned, outnumbered, but you knew you had to stand for God, and you stepped out in faith, and God came through for you? I'm so glad I got testimonies like that. But listen, if you want to have a life that counts more than 10,000 of other people, then have a life that you step out in faith. And you say, well, where do I start? Start right where you are and step out in faith. What does God want you to do? I remember, I'll just tell you this tonight. I remember I did it, Brother Joe. I was at and I've told this story a million times if I've told it once, but I was at pastor school out in Hammond, Indiana. And Brother David Gibbs was preaching. And he preached a message, and the name of the message was, you're going to know it, Doing the Impossible. And I had been witnessing every day, and I had been giving the gospel to at least one person every day. Patty, you know what that's called, a SASAD, Seek a Soul Today Saint. And I had done that every day. And then he preaches on doing the impossible, and he's talking about this pastor who won one to the Lord every day. Won a soul to the Lord every day. I was like, that's impossible. Listen, I've been doing this. I know that's you can't do that. I can't do that. And I felt like God wanted me to go forward and step out in faith and go forward at the altar and make a commitment to do that. I felt like he wanted me to. But I said, that's just too impossible. And I didn't do it. And a whole year went by. And I came back the next year, and the same speaker was speaking. And now he's preaching a different sermon. It was called Running on an Empty Tank. You know, you remember that one. And when he gave the invitation, I came down front. And I made that commitment. And before that, I had gone to Alamigos and got a great big burrito, because that's one of my favorite foods, a huge, giant burrito. It was a chicken burrito, and I love those things. And I ate that. It was a warm day in March, about 70 degrees in Chicago. You don't get that. And I prayed. I said, God, I said, this is impossible. But if you're leading me to do it, you can help me. And you know what? For 13 years, I followed through on that commitment. And God blessed that commitment. And God is still blessing this church, you see. I'm trying to tell you, you got to step out in faith. You got to step out in faith. And a lot of Christians, they want to live in the comfort zone. They don't want to step out in faith. They want to make sure everything is supplied for them. Hey, I'll drink this. Everything is supplied for them. They got everything they need. And then they'll do it, you know. Listen, it doesn't work that way. God says, no, I want you to trust me and walk by faith and confront the enemy. Step out for my name and do something for God. And so I like what the missionary said, the great missionary movement in the Philadelphian church era. He said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. This church, that's how this church was started. We saw the need in Scranton. And people said, you can't go build a church there. You got to build a mission. That place is needy, poor. And we said, Christ said, I'll build my what? My church. And we're stepping out in faith. And we did. And God bless that. We got some young men in this church. Step out in faith. He'll reward it. He'll bless it in your life. And so how to have a life that's worth more than most? Be like David. Step out in faith for God's causes. But number two, this is important as well, submit to God's leadership in your life. Let me say that again. Submit to God's leadership in your life. You know, so many people are too prideful to submit to God's leadership in their life. And you're never going to be anything unless you humble yourself and submit to God's leadership. Look at 1 Samuel 18, and I'm going to read verse 5. This is David again. It said, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Notice that? And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Was Saul a perfect man? Was he a perfect leader? No, but he was God's anointed. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. You know how people try to get to the top by being prideful and doing things their way. But God exalts those that humble themselves.
That's right.
The Bible says, you younger submit to the elder. And it's talking about the army of God and the man of God being over the spiritual program. And it's talking about submission. And I had to learn that when I came to Scranton Revival Baptist Church, because the pastor was a man my age. He was my best friend. We hung out. I knew him very well. I did respect him highly. But I submitted to him because he was God's man. And I knew it. And you know what? God blessed me in doing that. Now, people said to me, you know, you're nothing but Charlie Ware's yes man. And you ought to get out from Scranton. You trained at the Bible College. You ought to get out and plant a church. I had opportunities to go to churches and all that. But you know what? I knew God wanted me to bury myself right here in Scranton.
Right.
And submit under the man of God.
Good.
And that is exactly what God wants you to do. We have to have more people that lose their life and then they'll find it. There are too many people that are trying to hold on to their life instead of giving up their selfish ambitions. And this is for somebody tonight. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and speak to your heart. And they're not willing to burn up their selfish ambitions and in faith turn it over to God and submit under the man of God in the work of God and let God work your life out.
Amen.
That's what David did.
Right.
And he worked under Saul and he submitted himself and he did it. I think of men in this church that have done that, and I like to use the example of Deacon Joe Slobodnik. I don't think there's a time I can remember where I asked Deacon Joe to do something and he didn't say, "I'll do it, Pastor."
Good. Amen.
Gifted man, respected man, great man, but yet in God's army, he says, "I'll do it, preacher. I'll do it." I think of my father-in-law. He said, I could hear the words, my wife's dad, great man, he used to say, "Boy," he said, "I would like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. I'd like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth." You see, David was actually worth 10,000 of your normal Israeli. He was worth, in practical terms, 10,000. But you see, he got it by stepping out in faith and fighting for God's causes by faith and forgetting himself and stepping out. He got it by submitting to Saul, God's leadership over his life, and God blessed him. And notice that he behaved himself wisely when he did that. I think of Brother Eric Zukowski here. He was telling me about Bob Gray's class. And Bob Gray has a lot of wisdom because the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. You get wisdom. And Bob Gray said this. He said, when you go to a leader with a problem in your ministry, he said, before you give that problem to your leader, he said, you work out some solutions to the problem to present to him. Or share with him solutions that you've already implemented to the problem that you're presenting to him. And Brother Eric has done that. And you know what? It makes me respect him more. I'd say he's behaving himself what? Wisely. Wisely. And so we need to submit to God's leadership. But in doing it, notice David behaved himself wisely. And look at verse 14 also, not only verse 5, but verse 14 of chapter 18. I'll read it. It says, I'm in 17. I got to go to 18. Amen. 18:14, it says, and David behaved himself what? Wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. He said the same thing in verse 5. Go to verse 30. I believe it's in there too. Then he says, the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. You see, submit yourself under God's leadership for your life, but seek God's wisdom in doing it. By the way, here's another case where David stepped out in faith and submitted himself to the man of God, but he also used wisdom from God. Because here he is submitting himself, and he's going out for Saul. He said, I'm going to go against Goliath. And Saul says, well, here's my armor. And David put the armor on, and you know the story. He couldn't function in that armor, and he knew that armor wouldn't work. And so he said, no, I can't use these. I haven't tried them. He behaved himself wisely. And that's so important. When you use something, don't just copy the man of God. Don't just copy the leader externally and get away. No, you need to have your own relationship to God. You need to have your own walk with God. And he'll see that, and other people will see that. And they saw it with David. Do you have your own walk with God? Do you win souls? Do you step out in faith? I'm talking to teenagers now. I'm talking to adults now. Do you do that and behave yourself wisely? Or are you just living on the faith of your leader? Some of you young men, you need to have your own experiences with God. You need to have your own answers to prayer. You need to have your own soul winning experiences and walk with God. So you know it's of God. And David had that. And he said to Saul, he said, I haven't tried these. And he took his sling stone and he took his shepherd's staff and he took his sling with five stones and he went up against the Goliath. Why? Because he used that against the lion. He'd used that against the bear. And he behaved himself wisely. Don't lose your own relationship to God in submitting yourself to some person and leadership. That's not godly leadership. And you need to have that own, your own relationship to God. I think of a guy that used to be up at the seminary, and he followed this great leader up there who was a great professor people followed. And when the professor used to speak, he used to shake his head like this. And this kid, when he spoke and did a Sunday school class, he'd do this. And all he was doing, he was just following the man, thinking that was magic, like that would give him power, you know. And it didn't. People just laughed. It was just funny, you know. It's like the guy that followed Billy Sunday. Same thing. He tried to do what Billy Sunday did, but he didn't have the power of God. So submit yourself to God's leadership, but do it wisely. Step out in faith for God's causes, and you could have a life that counts for God. We're not going to get through all of these, I don't think, but let me look at number three. Number three, listen very carefully. Surpass what your leader asks you to do.
That's good.
Let me say that again. Surpass what your leader asks you to do.
Amen.
And you'll be worth 10,000 more than the average person. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 18, and we're going to go down here in 1 Samuel 18. I'll give you the verse, but it says in verse 24 and 25a, it says, "And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David," speaking of David's desire to marry, because he wanted to marry Saul's daughter. "And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies." You say, what's that? It's like a scalp. You know, when you ever heard of the Indians taking scalps? It's kind of like cutting off the scalp and proving that you killed the person by taking the skin off their scalp, you know, and giving it, you give it then to Saul, the king. He said, "I want 100 scalps. I want 100 of these from the Philistines. And if you give that to me, I will give you my daughter." Now here David goes again, looking for that reward. Amen? The reward of faith. And David steps out. And it's very interesting what we see here that David did. Let's look at what David did. Look at 18:27 in the 1 Samuel. I'll read it, you follow. It said, "The people answered him after this manner, so shall it be done to the man." I'm sorry, I got 17 again. I got to go forward to 18. 18:27. Get in 1 Samuel 18. I'll read it. It says, "Wherefore David arose, went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines," what? 200 men. "And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son." And it says, "And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife." Now listen, here, I'm just saying to you, if you want to have a life that's worth more, if you do a job for the leader, you do twice as much as they. You surpass whatever they ask you to do. And God will bless that. And so, how about that? Jesus spoke of going the extra mile, but many just want to do the bare minimum in their service to the Lord. I used to send out, you know, soul winners and deacons, and I remember sending out a deacon to win souls on a Thursday night or whatever night we did it back then. And I would send that deacon out, and he would come back, and we had report back, and tell all these great things that happened. And finally, the guy told on him. He went out with him. He told me, he said, "Pastor, he doesn't go witness to anybody. He goes to Dunkin' Donuts. And he has coffee and donuts. And he doesn't witness to anybody." And you know what? You don't get rewarded that way. Amen? You don't get rewarded that way. See, you're serving the Lord Christ. And so you surpass what the leader ask you to do. How are you doing in soul winning? How about Sunday school? How about nursery ministry? How about as a deacon? How about in the music or hospitality and making food or giving tithes, offerings, alms in God's work and so forth? Do you do it unto the Lord? Do you serve Him? And when you do that, you're surpassing what a lot of people do, because Jesus said, listen, you go the extra mile. I think of Jack Hiles when he first went to First Baptist in Hammond. And they used to have baptismal classes. If somebody got saved, they'd go to baptismal class, and after a while, they'd finally baptize them. That's the way the church did things. Well, Jack Hiles was leading so many people to Christ, he had the place filled. And he said to the deacons, what are we going to do with all these people? And the deacon finally said, why don't we just baptize them right now? We can't handle all these people. You see, he did more. He did more than what was expected, more than the norm. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid to do more than you could possibly do and surpass what your leader asks you to do. And you'll be blessed of Almighty God. How to have a life that's worth more than most. Step out in faith for God's causes. Submit to God's leadership in your life. Surpass what your leader asks you to do. And number four, serve with humble gratitude. Look at verse 22 of chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 22. And I'll read it through verse 23. Here's what it says. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. Now listen, David was amazed that he could marry the king's daughter. He thought, I'm not worthy of that. I'm just a poor man. But yet he was becoming a man worth 10,000 more than others because he stepped out in faith, because he submitted to God's leadership with wisdom in his life, because he surpassed what the leader said. David was becoming this man of great, but he didn't recognize it. He thought, what a privilege it would be for me to marry the king's daughter. Listen, David never got over that he was a poor shepherd boy from a large family that was given the privilege to serve under God's anointed leader. Amen. I traveled with a great man, and he was a great man, and is a great man, Dr. Jack Hiles, there's no doubt about it. I traveled with him, and I can tell you this, that we went to Dallas, Texas, and we went to a church there where he told us in that room was my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Bethel, and I walked to church with bare feet because my father was just a drunkard and my mother was a single mom and we were poor, and I walked there in bare feet, and she said, God loves you little boys and girls. And he said, Mrs. Bethel, does God love me as much as these other children? I'm just a poor kid with no shoes. And tears came down her eyes, and she said, he loves you in a special way. And she held him. And when I was with Jack Hiles, I'm telling you, he was a normal person, but the love of God would just well up in his life. You could just see the love of God welling up in his life. And he appreciated that he was God's man. And he was with God's people. And he was counting it a great privilege. You know, I had another great man called Dr. Wendell Kempton. He was a great man of God that I met at BBC. And Dr. Wendell Kempton, he was asked one time, why do you treat people special? And he said, because I never forget that I am privileged to be amongst the people of God. They are special people. And I have that privilege. And you know what? That is exactly how you could be somebody where your life will count 10,000 of others, in that you serve with that humble gratitude. And you never get over what a blessing it is, what a privilege it is for you to be with the people of God. Sometimes after a while, we see people's faults and we see people's foibles, and we lose that sense. And don't ever lose that, because that's how to have a life that's worth more than most. You need to serve with humble gratitude. I want to say one more thing tonight. If you want to have a life that costs more than 10,000 others, you need to suffer but still stay in God's will. You need to suffer but still stay in God's will. You see, David had to suffer, and he had to go through opposition. And David lost his jobs. He lost his reputation. He lost his wife. He lost his house. He lost his family. He lost his homeland for a great time. And yet he kept his heart for God, and he stayed with God and the Bible. Look first of all at 1 Samuel 19, 1 and 2, and then verse 11. 1 Samuel 19, 1 and 2 says, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should" what?
Kill David.
Kill the one that killed Goliath. Kill the one that served him. Kill the one that behaved himself wisely. Kill the one that he felt was such a privilege to marry into his family. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself." Now look at verse 11 of that same chapter. It says, "Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow shalt thou be slain." You see, God says if you're going to have a life that's worth something, you need to suffer in the will of God and stay with God. And listen to me, keep your heart. I remember Dr. Wendell Kempton. I wasn't even there, but I heard about this chapel message. He talked about people that he had invited to go to Baptist Bible College. And he recruited them to go there. And he challenged them to pray about it. And they got there to the college. And he said, "You know, I told you when I..." And he called different people by name. "I told you when I invited you, you know, Matt, to come to this college. I told you about the great Bible teaching. I told you about the great chapels. I told you about this and I told you about that. But I forgot to tell you, Matt, keep your heart." The Bible says keep your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. And when you suffer and you're doing right, you can get bitter. You can lose your heart. And David did not do that. He suffered, but he stayed with God. He didn't lose his heart for God. And he was called, what, a man after God's own heart. That is the key. You might gain in knowledge and experience and in wisdom, but it all is nothing if you don't keep your heart and stay with God. We had a man in this church, Jack Jeffrey. His wife was named Billy Jeffrey. Billy Jeffrey, one of the most godly women you ever meet. What a lady. What a heart for God she had. And I remember her with fond memories. And she said something one time. She said years ago, she said, "I never met anybody that stayed at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, but that they didn't have to encounter suffering for being here and have to stay with God and stay with the church through suffering." She said they had to be tested, Brother Joe. And when they passed the test, God would let them stay here. And you know what? You will be tested to see if you're really going to stay and bury yourself in the will of God. And in the, you'll be tested. And if you're in it, listen to me, if you're in it for selfish motives, if you're in it for yourself, if you're not stepping out for God and for the cause of God, you're going to run away. You're going to keep your own selfish ambition. You're going to seek your own thing. And David, you see, he stayed in the will of God. And he went through, listen to me, years of suffering and stayed with God and humbled himself under God's almighty hand. And then God brought him up. And what happened? He became the king of all Israel. Do you believe that could happen in your life? God could be preparing you and you stay with God and you go through suffering and you go through adversity and all of a sudden God brings you out and he uses you in a great way. He did it with David. He did it with Joseph. He was in jail. He kept going down, but he kept his heart. He said, "You meant it for evil, but I've got my heart set on God. God needs it for good." He kept his heart for God. And Joseph was brought out and reigned over all Egypt and was able to be a blessing to his family. How about you? Do you want to be having a life that is worth more than most, like David's was? They said to David, you're worth 10,000 of one of us. Why was it? Because he had a life of stepping out in faith for God's causes. He had a life of submitting to God's leadership with wisdom. He had a life of surpassing what was asked by him to be done by the leaders. And he had a life of serving humbly with gratitude and thankfulness. And then he suffered. Yes, he suffered. But he stayed with God and followed the example of our Savior. Listen, it takes only a few weeks to grow a squash. But an oak tree, it takes time. And it takes these things. May God make you a great tree for God. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. As we've been speaking the message, I believe God